This is Bronson Fry with the AGC of Alaska Build Alaska podcast. I am honored to be joined today by Tammy Taylor, the owner of Tailored Business Solutions. How are you doing today, Tammy?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to this a lot. So real quick off the top, what is basically in a nutshell what Tailored Business Solutions does? And then I'd love to hear your story and see how you built this company up.
All right. Well, Tailored Business Solutions is a consulting company that provides tailored assistance to various companies in project management, contract administration, superintendents, and any type of submittals and paper processing that is needed on a construction project.
So it sounds like a pretty diverse scope of things that your business does, and takes a pretty unique skill set to do that. So how did you get into construction and build the skills necessary to have a business like Tailored Business Solutions?
Well, that started a long, long, long time ago, as the story goes. But I started out getting out of college, and I was looking for a job. I have a degree in biology, and I was looking for a job. I did not get into med school. Imagine that. So here I have a degree. I don't have a job. I'm looking for a job, and all of a sudden I get a bill for college, and it says you have a student loan that is due.
Right.
And it was, oh my, you better get a job. And I got a job with a construction company, and I had the experience to be able to know a little bit about what this company was talking about, because my father-in-law, or my future father-in-law, was a general contractor. And on the weekends during college, I worked for him, and I helped him build his home. So I was getting some knowledge from that. So I got this job as a secretary for a construction company, and then I got a different job with a construction company, and there was a gentleman there that looked at me and said, I see potential in you, and I think that I will support you in anything that you want to do in this company. And I told him I wanted to go out in the field. Of course, he thought I was nuts. And he put me out there as a laborer. And then after several years, they were like, this lady wants us to be organized, get her in the office, and, you know, get her out of the field. So they did. They moved me into the field office, and I became a contract administrator and worked on the submittals. So I just worked my way up and pretty much doing all the different facets that are needed to get a project done. So that's kind of the forte that I have.
And where were you doing this at? Where did you start out?
Well, I started out in Colorado, down in Colorado Springs area. Yeah.
So you were working in construction in Colorado. Eventually, after being a few years in the field, moved into the office. What brought you then to Alaska?
It was that same guy that told me that he would support me and help me grow in this field. He moved to Alaska, and after being here several years, he called me and said, what is it going to take for me to get you to move to Alaska? And long story short, here we came. 3 weeks later, we're packing everything that we own, putting it in a trailer, and coming up the Alcan Highway. And this was with my ex-husband, by the way. And he had gotten a job out on ADAC. So we move all the way up here, and here I am working as a contract administrator for this company in Anchorage, and he's out on ADAC as a superintendent. So we weren't even any closer to each other,
right.
With him being in ADAC as I was in Colorado.
Sure. So that's a pretty dramatic shift going from Colorado to Alaska. Remote work in that area is a little different than remote work here.
It's totally different. You know, I have to admit that we were probably the most naive people that there were when they told him that they had a superintendent job for him out in the bush. You know, in Colorado, you can drive anywhere.
I mean,
it's just take a trip, and we'd see each other every weekend, no big deal. Never even thought about or contemplated the fact that he might be put 1,200 air miles away when we moved to Alaska, but that's exactly what happened. And It's interestingly enough, being in the field in construction in Alaska, it seems that that is quite prevalent. You know, there's a lot of work up on the slope. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work out in the villages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've worked at construction at some point in time, you've worked in a job that has taken you away from home.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What was your life outlook then when you moved to Anchorage and your husband was working in ADEC? Did you end up staying in town and working, or did you move around the state working as well? What did you end up doing?
Well, he has family up in Fairbanks, and so we moved up. I moved up to Fairbanks to be near them,
mm-hmm.
and then he moved from ADEC to Fairbanks to be with us. Now, understand, I moved to up to Fairbanks in October,
mm-hmm.
when it gets cold.
Yeah,
and
serious
then
business.
I left there in April, so I was only there for 6 months, but. Good Lord, I was there during the worst part of the worst time. That's rough. But he was unable to get a job in Fairbanks, so he moved back down to Anchorage. And then I moved back down to Anchorage to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, I got a job out in ADEC, and then one out in Shimia, and then one out in Point Hope, and Anituvik Pass, and Oliktok Point. So...
So now you're traveling.
Now I'm traveling, yeah.
Right.
So it was, you know, it's part of the Alaska construction life, as I say.
And you have lived it in the fullest extent. Sounds like you've done personally work all over the remote areas in the state.
A lot of them, yes.
A lot of them,
yeah. A lot of them, yeah.
What was that like getting into that industry on those remote job sites for you through the years? What are some of the experiences or...
Well, I can tell you that doing this 35 years ago was a lot different than it would be now, of course. But, you know, being out in Anituvik Pass or Oliktok Point, and we're putting in a water line. And, of course, one of the things you don't think about in the lower 48 is we had to have polar bear watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, having somebody there and the wind's blowing and it's minus 65 and you know, you've got a face mask on, but you've got icicles hanging off of your eyelashes, and you're wondering if what you're seeing is a mirage, or is that really a polar bear, but you've got eight people in a ditch, are you really willing to risk that? It was definitely a different challenge to be able to do that. You know?
No kidding.
Yeah, that was a lot of, you know, not everybody can say that they did that. Like, you know, we did see one polar bear, you know, we run and we jump into the truck and we're all sitting there and the story goes, we sit there and we go, so, you know, have you ever seen those movies where the polar bear is just pouncing on the ice to get that little seal underneath the ice? And everybody in the truck goes, yeah, and, well, so, what do you think that polar bear is going to do to this windshield?
Yeah.
Get us out of here.
Right, back in the ditch.
Back up.
You have a lot of unique challenges you must have dealt with all through those years. How long did you spend working around the state doing that type of thing, or do you still now?
I'm still okay. Available to do that. You know, I did a project or was going to do a project up in what's Uktiagvik now.
Mm-hmm.
With a project called Dirt, we did some of the interior homes, but I did all the logistics down in Seattle and got all the materials onto the barge before it went up into Barrow, and then they used their own workforces to actually put it up, which was great that they were actually able to do that.
That is great.
But my recent jobs have unfortunately taken me out of state, but I'm certainly willing to do the ones in state as well.
So you've done this sort of project management all over throughout the state for different companies through the years, gained a lot of different experience probably dealing with things many of us can only imagine, and then eventually decided to start your own business solutions company, Tailored Business Solutions. Is that right? How did that transition happen, or what made that decision?
I can't say exactly why I made that decision, but it was just the point in time that there was the need for me to be able to be out on my own. The company actually didn't have the ability to hire somebody on staff, and so they were able to do it as a consultant, and that's kind of the way it started, was being able to do it that way.
And you're able to take the years of experience you had and start to apply it directly and running your own business.
Absolutely. You know, I still act as if I'm their employee. I manage it as if I was their employee. I manage it as if it was my own money.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still getting the benefit. It's just I'm just doing it as a consultant. But the nice thing is every construction company has an employee that goes on vacation. And a lot of these jobs, specifically the Corps of Engineers jobs, if you have a quality control manager that wants to go on vacation, the contract says that you have to have somebody there or you can't work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have somebody that you can pull from the office or you don't have somebody that you can pull from another job, you're basically shut down. And it's nice to have an option to bring somebody in, even if it is for the 2 weeks to get that work done, so you can continue on.
Fantastic. And you've just done work all over the country, really, not just all over Alaska.
That's true. Yep.
Outstanding. That's quite a success story, and always fun to hear, you know, how people like you get to where they're at. I appreciate that. One of the questions I'm interested to ask is, has the number of women in the construction industry changed over the last 30 years or so that you've been in it, or has your experience as a woman working in the trades changed much?
Sadly enough, the percentage of women in construction has not changed in the 30 plus years that I've been in the industry.
Wow.
And, we're talking about this workforce development. We're talking about the desire, and we know that we have a lack of qualified workers, and we have an untapped resource out there in women, utilizing women in the industry, whether in the office and being engineers, being mm-hmm. contract administrators, being superintendents, being foremen, and also being tradeswomen, that we can help fill that gap. It just hasn't happened yet. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we're telling them at the grade school and middle school / high school levels of these young girls. Is construction a viable career for them? Do they think that it's a viable career? Or are they always being pushed into something that is more standard, nursing or, you know, being a doctor or, being a clinician or something mm-hmm. like that, rather than telling them that this is a viable career option for them?
How do we do that? Shifting focus back to vocational training, not just to the youth in general, but specifically to women?
Well, I think that it's not only changing that vocational training. I mean, back when I went to high school, we had that shop in our curriculum,
right.
Everybody had the opportunity to go in there and to learn drafting and to learn how to use the saws and the tools and to build something. And that gave you that comfortability that, you know, you can pick it up and it's okay to do that. Years ago, that was taken out of the curriculum where the schools were more focused on the academics. And I think that there's threefold. We have to stop telling kids that everybody has to go to college, and that mm-hmm. that's all of us, parents, teachers, counselors, mm-hmm. everybody has to stop saying that everybody has to go to college. Not every student is geared to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
We're setting our kids up to fail these days by pushing them into doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, in that same fold, as we as adults and we in the construction industry have to be more positive about the career that we have. I mean, I love construction. There's days that I sit there and I ask myself, well, why am I in this and why do I do this? But I get up the next morning and here I am again. And I really love this industry. It's a it's a industry that there's not a day that I don't learn something. Even after 35 years, I could still learn something.
Yeah.
And don't take that in a wrong way, but yes, I can still learn.
Yeah.
I can still learn something every day, and I think everybody can in mm-hmm. this industry. But we have to be proud of this industry and not say, oh, I don't want my kids to be in this industry. Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a good career for you. Why can't it be a good career for your kids? And then the counselors in making them knowledgeable of what construction is. I mean, if somebody would have told me years ago that I could have gotten a trade, a skill that I could have used for the rest of my life and not had to pay $45,000 to $60,000 when I got out of college and student loans, I think I would have thought a little bit differently about what career I was going into or what I wanted to do. But nobody is out there saying that and making that understood, that you're going to be paid to learn. Where else can you where else can you get that opportunity?
Where else? Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems as though there is also a responsibility for, incumbent upon those of us in the construction industry now to promote what we're doing. You know, much like
absolutely
what we try to do with podcasts like this. I know that there's direct outreach into the schools. The AGC is involved in that. Not to skip too far ahead, but you do also serve as a board member here of the AGC. Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And you sit on a committee that does some of this outreach into the schools. Do you want to talk a little about that since we're on the subject?
You bet. I'm on the Educational Training and Workforce Development Committee.
All right.
I know that's a mouthful of a committee. But we have been looking at ways that we can reach into the grade school, high school, and junior high level of kids and to do special programs for them and let them know that construction is a viable option for them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I do is through another organization that I'm in is the Block Kids. It's through the NAWIC Educational Foundation.
Okay.
And we've been going into some of the fifth and sixth grades, and should I say the elementary schools,
mm-hmm.
and doing a building block contest where the students are given 45 minutes to build anything that a construction company would build.
Nice.
And we have industry leaders come in and talk to them and tell them about the different things that they do. And we try to get different variety of industry leaders so that they can see that there's a lot of different ways that they can be involved and be in construction. So we've been doing that over the last, since November. And we just sent one of the students to a regional contest down in Oregon and Washington. So we'll see how he does down there.
Outstanding. Now, you mentioned that this Block Kids program where you look at kids or go talk to kids in the younger grades about construction was also part of NAWIC. And that is that the National Association of Women in Construction?
It is, yes.
Could you tell us a little more about that and the role that they play in the industry?
Sure. NAWIC is a national association, of course. It was formed in Dallas, Texas, back in 1953. And it became it's also an international organization. But we... Our mission is to strengthen and amplify the success of women in the construction industry. So not only are we looking at getting girls and women to understand that construction is a viable career, but we're also providing some educational opportunities and networking to those in the construction industry so that they can advance their career and become better leaders within their organization.
That's pretty outstanding. So there's a way for you to sort of collaborate through the different things that you do professionally here towards a greater goal of developing the workforce and reaching out to folks that are maybe hadn't thought about it before as a career option.
And I think that that's the most important part is that there's a lot of people out there that don't think that construction is a glamorous career, should I say. I mean, mm-hmm. there is definitely a negative vibe on construction. But construction is not negative. I mean, as I tell these young kids, you cannot drive down a road in anywhere, any city, any state, that you do not see something that a construction company built. Okay, now maybe down in the highway of Wyoming, as you're doing one of those empty stretches, I think the farmer puts up his own fence, but you're on the road that a construction company built.
For sure.
There's buildings, there's hospitals, there's roads, there's bridges, there's pipelines. Everywhere you look, there's something that a construction company would build. So it took a family and a village of people to be able to do that. And it is a village. I mean, we're all fairly close, and especially in Alaska.
Definitely.
But those in the trades, I mean, they can take that trade anywhere that they have. I mean, it's just amazing that the opportunities that they have, and especially now.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you think opportunities are coming quicker nowadays than they'd have in generations past in construction? How does it compare to people getting into the trades nowadays compared to 30 years ago?
You know, getting into trades 30 years ago, that I couldn't really tell you, because I wasn't involved that much in the trades. I was more in the office type.
Okay.
However, I do know that the trades is still, the unions and some of the apprenticeship programs that are coming through have been showing that they're needing the people as well. Mm-hmm. And then trying to get them to stay, the resiliency, or redundancy, to keep them there.
Attract and retain.
Retain, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go.
Getting to retain them has been the difficulty.
Sure.
Either something else takes them and puts them off into a different field. We now have so many different things that we didn't have back then. I think that, when I got into this field and when I was in high school, we didn't have all these electronics that we could utilize that would take so much of our time. And good Lord, I mean, grade school kids now have cell phones.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And it's amazing how much time can be killed with a cell phone. Whereas that always seems like such a draw to young adults and to kids to get into that electronic thing. But if we can keep them and retain them in our trade, they're going to be more profitable. They're going to make so much more money. And like I said, they can have a skill that they can take anywhere and everywhere. And I've always admired those in the trades, because as they have a skill, they can start a business with that skill.
Yep.
I mean, a painter, a carpenter, mm-hmm. an electrician, a plumber, mm-hmm. They can take that skill and start a business. They, of course, plumbers and electricians have to go and get their master's license and pass certain certifications in different states, mm-hmm. but they still have a trade that they can go anywhere and be able to build upon that and be independent. Whereas project managers and construction managers and field engineers, they're reliant upon an employer,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else to have that job.
Mm-hmm.
So I just admire those in the trades. It's just...
It's great to hear you say that. I think that there is a tremendous opportunity, and there's something to be said for having a skill that no one can ever take away from you, and being able to have the opportunity to get paid to learn that skill, as you move along, is pretty special. There are those of us out there that knew that college, it wasn't an option for whatever reason, and being able to know that there are ways that you can support yourself and have a quality of life that is a good one. And that's, I think, maybe where the shift should be. What is going to provide you the quality of life that you desire, whatever that might look like? You have an ability with some of these choices early on to set the trajectory of your life. And keeping in mind that graduating high school or getting a college degree is not the end. That's the beginning. That's you still got to find a way to parlay that degree or whatever education you have into a job that's going to then pay your bills. And if you can do that working in construction and getting into that trade or career, whatever it may be, early, then you're going to have that much of a start on that whole quality of life and providing for yourself. So I appreciate your perspective on that. Do you have any advice for somebody starting out, or maybe even particular a woman who is interested in construction and wants to get into something related to the building trades? What would you say to somebody in that situation?
The main thing that I would say to somebody who is thinking about getting, or let's say a woman specifically, sure, that is wanting to get into the trades, there is the Alaska Works Partnership, and they are a great organization that they do training. And it's kind of, I like to call it pre-apprenticeship type training, mm-hmm, because they're giving you that little tester so that you have the opportunity to try it out,
yes,
and see if this is what you really want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing saying that once you get into apprenticeship that you can't switch to another one, but you're going to start over from the beginning on your hours because
right,
the majority of the time or the majority of the trade is different. But by going to Alaska Works Partnership and utilizing the various free trainings that they're offering, and especially to women in the trades at this point, because
right,
they're getting, I can't say for certain, but I believe they're getting grants to help subsidize some of the women training because we need more women in the trades. But that gives them the ability to try it out.
Yes.
And see what is the best fit for them, for their body type, for their lives, what they're going to want to do and be happy with for the rest of their life. So I would say contact Alexis or Johanna or Stacy over at Alaska Works Partnership and see if you can get into one of the next classes.
That's a great piece of advice. Alexis has been on this podcast.
Has she?
Yeah,
wonderful.
I interviewed her here. I am a board member of Alaska Works Partnership, just in full disclosure, and it is a great program. And there is a specific women in the trades component and part of that.
And I think it's a great component. As I said, it's something that gives anybody the opportunity to try it out without making a big commitment on their life getting in there so far and then figuring out that this isn't really what you want to do.
Generally about 40 hours of training, and it's not limited to women. I should probably make that clear too. So anybody out here or out there listening to this that's interested or knows someone might be interested in trying out construction, there is a variety of different skills, trades or what have you, and about 40 hours or so you can go in and dip your toe in the water a little.
And they offer them at different periods of the year, and so they might have welding now and carpentry later and electricity a little bit later. But throughout the time, they're rolling those through so that they're having them quite often. And so if anybody is interested, and you're right, not just women, but they do have the special course for the women in the trades, but they have the other trades. So even if you're thinking about switching a career, that's an opportunity to go and check that out. If you can take a week off of work and go over and take one of these classes and see if that's what you want to do.
Smart. Good thinking. Yeah. Well, is there anything that you would like to say on a broad sense as far as the industry, the economy, workforce development? You wear so many hats. I don't know. You're a member of the agency. You're a board member here. You're part of the National Association of Women in Construction, a past president, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I know. Didn't even mention that earlier. And then, of course, running your own business, Tailored Business Solutions, pretty impressive work that you do there as well. So you have a great perspective. And anything you'd like to mention?
Well, I do want to say I would be very remiss if I didn't say that this is March is Women in History Month. And as part of the Women in History Month, the National Association of Women in Construction chapters across the country are celebrating Women in Construction Week. And this is the week, March 1st through 7th. And we are The Alaska chapter is doing a couple things. We're having a toast tonight to start off the week. The second thing we're doing is we're doing a job site visit tomorrow. Cornerstone Construction is sponsoring us on a job site tour. And then we've challenged every member to reach out to a mentor, a coworker, or somebody who has had an impact in their life. I delivered 48 roses to various women in Alaska that have been a mentor, a coworker, a co-committee member, recognizing them as a woman in the industry and saying my appreciation to them for being in the industry and for staying in the industry. And so there's a lot of things going on. We're going to kind of be interesting next week to kind of find out what some of the other members are doing, because they're all secret until the end of the week about what they're doing to recognize somebody else. But this is getting visibility about having women in the construction industry. Once again, trying to build that number from 9%. I mean, good Lord, over 35 years, please, can we get it into a double digit? You know,
it's not good that it's still 9%.
It's not good.
Yeah, we need to.
And if we can get that into a another percentage or double digits, construction is not only in the trades, it's also the contract administrators, the field engineers, the project managers. If you're interested in any of those are also available as job opportunities. The local NAWIC chapter is going to be putting on a course that's going to be the beginning of construction, just an introduction to construction, here in probably the next month or so. So there'll be information through AGC on that. And as I said, look around. Construction is involved in everything that you do. I mean, you can't even go to bed without looking at construction.
That's
because
right.
You're right there in your house. And so there's a lot of people that are involved in this industry, and we just need to be proud of what we do.
Absolutely.
We started this out with, who I am and where I've been, but I do not have a degree in construction. I have a degree in biology with a minor in chemistry.
Okay.
I've used that degree for 6 months of my life. So I paid $40,000 for 6 months of my life. Hmm. I keep coming back to construction. There's got to be a reason. And there is a reason. It's because I love it. I love construction, and I think it's a great industry to be in.
Well, thanks to people like you, it is a great industry to be in. Thank you so much
for your
time today. It's been a real joy chatting with you.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.